Only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. And if you want to call in, we're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. Today's a Tuesday. It's a day of politics. It's just me in the studio here. We're going to talk about local, city, borough, school district, House, Senate, U.S. Senate, U.S. House, Governor. We're going to go through them all, have a little discussion, what a few things mean and what they may not mean. But we already have a phone call, so we're going to run into it real fast. Oops, blew that one. Sorry about that, caller. It was a technical day that did not work. Anyway, the official results are in. And very many mixed results, but also not mixed. If you look at the districts that voted, the people that ran, how they ran, there was a lot of predictability here, for me anyway, just looking at it. Now, let's look at the school board, the school district. Two people won. They worked the hardest. They both worked hard. The two people who worked the hardest won. And that's generally what happens in a race, per se. It also depends on your district you're running in or the area you're running in, how you're running, the support you have, the name recognition, the grassroots, and your budget. But you look at the school district, and they have the largest budget here in the interior. But their budget is in a declining phase. I think right now they're looking at a $16 million deficit. How does a school district plug in? They're about a 5% of their deficit margin. And this has been predictable. If you look at the declining student body populations that parents sends to the public schools, you can see this has been happening. You know, over, I'd say, the last 10 years, there's been a marked impetus by the school district to not look at education, but their social values and what they want to implement. My philosophy is, parents, that's your job. That is your job. Your job is also to make sure your kids work at their education. School district, reading, writing, arithmetic, some sports, extracurricular activities, yeah. The social programs that you've tried to implement have chased a lot of people away. Your protocols over the COVID has chased a lot of people away, and they didn't come back, or a lot of them did not come back. And your biggest source of income is state of Alaska based student allocation. When you're losing students and you've had to close down two schools, and an independent group got together and says, you got to close two schools, and these are the two that we recommend. And it was a big fight just to do that. Well, you know, you better be looking at another school or two to shut down, because you're $16 million in the hole, your student population is not growing, and you've had the flight. You've had the flight out there. And this was predictable, sadly so. This was implemented at the school district. The people got elected. The people worked down there, their philosophies, very sad. But again, predictable. Let's look at the borough assembly. Now, you have a new presiding officer. We're going to start there. Aaron Lajewski, very astute person. An election happens. They re-elect Mindy O'Neill, but they also elect two very staunch Republicans, fiscal Republicans, looking at the budget. That's what they ran on. So one of the first things that Aaron does is the climate committee that they had. Some impetus prior to that, they came out with a resolution that passed, 5-4, about getting, having all electric cars by a specific date or investing in it. You're in Fairbanks, Alaska. To generate electricity, you got to burn some carbon. Simple as that. That's what we do. You can do it by diesel fuel. You can do it by coal. Oh, that's right. People don't want to do that. Do it by natural gas. But mainly up here, it's diesel fuel. So he's looking at the preliminary report from the Climate Coalition. And this thing is dead on arrival, just my thought. This thing is coming to this new borough assembly. It's not going to pass. It will be shredded. So he did a very wise thing. He looked at it and said, okay, let's put more people on it that are more in tune to the philosophy of our new borough assembly. And put a couple of the assembly members on there. That way, at least we're going to get something, because what was going to come to this borough assembly was dead on arrival. Not going to come. So you're going to have some people screaming about that. Sadly so. But look what was coming, that report, to what was going to receive it. He had to do something. We'll see what they come out with. And again, this can be altered. It can be amended. We'll see what it comes out with. But it's a better starting point than the ending point and receiving point of what that was going to get and where it was going to go. Much better indeed. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah. Sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays. Brought to you by The Radio Station, your local family of radio stations.
The Alaska Comedy Showcase is proud to welcome the world-famous Sklar Brothers. You've seen their Netflix special or their two Comedy Central specials, Curb Your Enthusiasm, America's Got Talent, and more. Now, catch them live Saturday, December 3rd at 6:30 or 9 p.m. at the intimate Firehouse Theater inside Goldie's. Tickets are available in advance at aktickets.com. The Alaska Comedy Showcase with the Sklar Brothers, brought to you by Zach's Restaurant at Sophie Station and KFAR. For more info, go to alaskacomedy.com.
One of the best traditions many Italian families hold dear is the weekly family meal. Families coming together under one roof, cooking a massive shared feast with food and drink while spending quality time with each other. Now, that's a great tradition. You can start your own family tradition with dinner at Giraldo's. Giraldo's has a menu that has something for everyone, from the littlest bambino to Nona and Nono. A weekly family meal. This is a tradition worth keeping. Eat well, drink well, enjoy life at Giraldo's.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Maintaining your correct tire pressure improves safety, fuel economy, and tire life. Drop by the Tire Guys for free tire inflation. GCR Tires and Service, taming the Alaskan road. Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR Weather.
A winter weather advisory begins at noon tomorrow and continues until 6 a.m. Thursday morning. 12 below today, under mainly cloudy skies. Northeast winds around 5 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight, 18 below. 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prues in the studio here. We're talking about politics today. If you have a thought, a comment, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Then how the borough assembly, let's take a look at over the last 3 years. The election of 2020 was very conservative. 2021, very liberal. This one, conservative. It goes back and forth. It goes back and forth. We got a phone call coming in we're going to take. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio and your name is?
Yeah, Dave, this is Ron.
Hello, Ron.
Hey, just wanted to thank you for verbalizing my gut reaction there on the climate thing.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I read the letter to the editor of the paper, and boy, some folks are awfully pleased with themselves.
They took a battle axe to it. No, it was dead on arrival. You couldn't pump life into it, and I really think the presiding officer did a very astute thing. Look at this, what you guys did. It's a different regime in here, different people. This was dead on arrival. Let's try and do something.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Dave. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ron. You have a great day, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So last year you had three people in the borough assembly who are quite liberal, but they ran as moderates. They ran as moderates. And then he had three people who were very, very unique in their what they called their conservative views. And they got shellacked. They got shellacked. This year, you had three people running. One, Mindy O'Neill, she was presiding officer unopposed. Very well financed. And then four people running, two were Mindy's wingmen, and then two that were new running for elected office, Barbara Haney and Brett Roderman. And who won? The two people, Barbara and Brett, who went after fiscal policy this time, they brought up fiscal. We had just seen at the Fairbanks North Star Borough assessments that just shocked everyone, the way the taxes were raised. Their message was better than a social agenda because it was the pocketbook. It's about the economy. It's the pocketbook. And that's what they highlighted. The people are not doing that well. High utilities, higher interest rates, fuel, we have to take a look at cutting back so they're not paying as much taxes. That was her message. Great message. It worked. And also, Barbara and Brett, they outworked the other side. They outworked them. The two ladies who won on the school district, they outworked their opponents. They outworked them. Simple as that. Better message, outworked them. And the first thing that happens is when they're in office, they're removing the Fairbanks North Star Borough from what they believe is a unnecessary cost. They're already looking at costs. That was what they ran on. This is what your expectation was when you elected this body. This body took over. Fiscal. They're fiscal. They're not social. They're fiscal. Fiscal management. Do more with the tax revenue that you have versus increasing the tax revenue. That's what the school district faces now. It's not that you're going to have more or an increase. You're having less. And you have to, in school district, you got to go to the Fairbanks North Star Borough, Borough Assembly for a large portion of your budget. And they're going to be looking at you. And they're going to be saying, okay, I can, you know, it's already lining up. If you're not at Fairbanks North Star Borough School District, if you're not understanding this or anticipating this, oh my goodness. They're going to be looking at you very critically. And they're going to want to see your education proponents, not your social value proponents. That's what they're going to be looking at. You're $16 million down right now. That's scary. 5%. Believe it or not, in government, that's a lot. Tough choices will be made by you. Very tough choices. So the Borough Assembly changed. New presiding officer. Be looking at this assembly on the fiscal side. They will be predictable on that. You know, and when it comes to politics, I just appreciate predictability. Is this person all over the board? You know, will he give a vote to get a vote over here, or does he have a standard? Is he workable? And it's the people that are regimented, not willing to work with. People call compromise and say, no, I'm available to listen to you, tell you my concerns. Can we work through those concerns? Then I can support something you're doing versus no, 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 no. And people like that on either the far left or the far right, they're not the best people to be representing you. Let's look at the city council. The two people who worked the hardest got elected. Sue Sprinkle, she started this in March, April. She had ran before. She started gathering her resources. She had, with many different organizations, letting them know she's going to run. And she was the only one that ran in a race with three people. So she didn't have to get that 50%. She got 40%, 43% right in there. Two people who had never ran before, they one got 34, 35%. The other one got about 16%. So she didn't have a overwhelming majority, but she did it smart and astute. She worked hard. She got elected. Crystal Tidwell, she was going against an incumbent. The incumbent never got out there. Never worked it, per se. Could have, should have. Crystal, great support from her union that she works in. She's a business agent. A lot of financial endorsements from them and other unions. And she won by just 11 votes, but she worked it. She worked hard. If you're going to run for a political office, you have to make the effort of running hard. My opponent, Valerie Therrien, had software. She ran. She worked it. She ran hard. I did too. We both worked hard. Look at your state houses. We're going up the ladder. That's going to get really interesting. You know, I promise you entertainment when it comes to that coalition coming together. If you look at who's going to be with who, first of all, take David Eastman, put him off to the side. No one wants to be with Representative David Eastman. The Republicans do not trust him, do not want to work with him. You've heard that term rhino. He's the equivalent of the rhino on the opposite side, Republican in name only. He's been kicked out of the Republican caucus twice. One time he would not caucus with the Republicans, and his vote would have put Dave Tallarico, a Republican, and the Republican majority into the House in 2018, which was Governor Mike Dunleavy's first year. And instead he withheld it, and then the eight Republicans formed a coalition, and we got Bryce Edgman, all because David Eastman would not join the Republican Party. So whenever you hear the word term rhino, it's on both sides of the coin. Far right, far left. If you look at what came out of the Mat-Su, whenever I talk to the legislators, they either shake their head about the Mat-Su. They either shake their head, unworkable. They didn't trust him. Unworkable. David Eastman, Mike Showers. Then you look at the state Senate, what transpired. They all got together, except for three. You had 11 quote, Republicans get elected to the 9 Democrats. Oh, okay. You would think that a couple of the Democrats would come over like they always do and form a majority with the Republicans. No. The Republicans said, we don't want to work with these three senators. They're unworkable. We're going to go into a majority caucus with the 9 Democrats or 8 Democrats. And we're going to have a caucus of 17 because we don't want to work with these three Republicans. That's exactly what happened. You had a philosophy that Senator Showers brought. Or a dogma, I would say. He was trying to say that a binding caucus is illegal. Remember that? Binding caucus is illegal. No, it's not. Otherwise, attorney generals, suits, all the stuff. So what he did was he put in to get him and Shelley Hughes and Rob Myers in the last caucus, it had to be non-binding. So basically, the binding caucus is when it comes to the budget on the third reading on the floor. Everyone gets multiple bites at the apple through the budget process, through each committee, through the finance committee, through the three readings. When it comes to that third reading, you're voting it up. You're voting to do it that way. We have budget certainty because the only thing the legislature has to do, is prescribed to do, is pass a budget. That's it. So that's the only thing we're going to hold you to. And here, Senator Showers brought in a philosophy. No. No. And guess what? He was left out. He was kicked off the island. Very sad for Senator Myers. He represents District 33 and 34. He's in the minority. You're in a group of three in the minority. Very sad, but very telling. But it's a product of what you've done in the past. Senator Showers, there were so many Republicans that were so hopeful when you got beat in the primary. There was a lot of Republicans that are quite conservative or that were hopeful that you would not make it through to the general. And you made it through the general, and guess what? The majority of Republicans that you worked down there with the last couple of years did not want a coalition with you. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, and top House and Senate Republicans Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell met with President Biden today at the White House to discuss end-of-the-year legislative priorities.
We're going to work together to fund, I hope, work together to fund the government, COVID, and the war in Ukraine. All controversial and consequential issues.
The president also wants Congress to enact a tentative contract between rail companies and union leaders to avert a potential nationwide rail strike. A new report indicates home prices are coming down.
The most recent reading from the S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller Index saw prices drop in all 20 top cities covered. Higher mortgage rates are making homes less affordable, though economists have been predicting home prices have further to fall.
Fox's Jenny Casola. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Fairbanks Daily News Miner reports the trial of a mother and daughter from Nenana who allegedly schemed to defraud an elderly woman is set to begin today. Vicki Moyle, 64, and Annie Williams, 46, were charged in June 2021 with one felony count of scheme to defraud over $10,000 and one felony count of theft of more than $25,000. The alleged plot involved a financially exploitative real estate deal with an elderly resident of Nenana. In the alleged scheme, Moyle led the 71-year-old female victim to believe her home was under foreclosure by the city of Nenana. The pair then authored a deal in which Williams would buy the home valued at $71,000 for 13 monthly payments of $500. These payments would total approximately $6,533. Moyle told the elderly victim that it was better to get something for the home than nothing, according to an Alaska State Trooper dispatch. Moyle then reportedly rushed the victim to a notary to sign a quitclaim deed that would turn the property over to Williams, according to the report. Opening arguments are set to begin this morning.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
CAD is Customer Appreciation Day at the Great Alaska Pizza Company. Are just $6. Carry out medium cheese or pepperoni pizzas for $6. Customer Appreciation Day is today at Gapco. Carry out medium cheese or pepperoni pizza for $6.
Great Alaska Pizza Company.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prue's in the studio. If you have a thought or want to talk about things I'm going into, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. But I want to give a shout out to my post lady. This morning I get up at 6:30, start my car, go outside at 6:30, start the car. Got an early day. I go out about 6:40 to take off, and here she shows up. And she's got a box for me at 6:45 in the morning. And I say good morning to her, and I said, oh, my goodness. She goes, yeah, this time of year we're starting at 5:30. 5:30 to get all their deliveries done. Shout out to them. Hard workers, man, getting it done. This is their playoffs and Super Bowl season, and they're knocking it out. For all those people who, over the holidays, you're putting in more, putting longer, so the rest of us can have the benefits of a wonderful holiday season, thank you very much. You're incredible. So what's going to be interesting is how the House comes together. They're not going to have Eastman. So that puts them about 17 or 18. The Democrats, oh boy, do they have some unique players that push away a lot of the Democrats. That's just natural. In each party, it's just natural. You're putting all these, you know, kids in a room, just like you're in your elementary school, junior high, and high school. You're going to get people that just don't get along, people with philosophies that are different. And people are going to not join their group, per se, because they don't want to be associated with specific people, or they think they can do better for their district, their Senate area, by joining with a coalition made up of mixed members. And that's what you have to expect. But what will the House do? My goodness. Well, it's all, you know, it's all on rural Alaska. Neil Foster, he's one of them. The gentleman out of what used to be called Barrow. Very fine gentleman. What will Louis Stutes do on Kodiak? Those are your keys. Watch those three. As they go, as goes the House. Those are your keys. And then whichever one they decide to go to, expect a few people from the other party, be it a Democrat or a Republican, to jump over there with them. You know, you don't want to, if you're in the House, you don't want to come into a coalition of 21 or, you know, we saw that last session with the Democrats. Louise Stutes was the president of the House. Speaker of the House, rather. I'm sorry. And, boy, when you only have 21 votes, people can say, okay, I'm not going to in favor of this, so therefore I'm leaving, or I'm not voting in favor. So that you have to acquiesce to them. So you need about 23, 24 people. So when that person says, okay, I'm not going to do this, you're going to look at them and say, there's going to be consequences and we don't need you. And that's, sadly, that's what happens. So then you looked at an election for whether they have a constitutional convention. And I heard all this, oh, outside money is trying to influence us. No, I'm sure outside money came in. Why was, I'm going to question my own party. Why was the Republican Party expending the energy on something like that, that the majority of Republicans was not in favor of, but you had an extremist side that was? If you want to change anything in the Constitution, it's been done approximately 38 times. Once every 2 to 3 years, there's a change on it. You can do it by referendum, the way they did ranked choice voting. You want to put the dividend into the Constitution? Do it by referendum. Want to change the way the judges are voted in or elected? Do it by referendum. Want marijuana to be legal? Do it by referendum. When you look at having a constitutional convention, you're starting afresh, from scratch, at the beginning. Everything is open. You're electing your delegates. You want to see some economic powerhouses jumping into that? West Coast seafood companies? People who mining operations? We have a very good constitution, and it's available for change, and it has been changed. Sometimes I believe for the better, sometimes I believe for the worse. It's interesting with ranked choice voting. How many people say they didn't vote for it yet? It got a majority of votes, barely. So this happens. Now, I had on last Wednesday, I believe, I had a gentleman on, Art Mathis, Matthias. He's with a group that is bringing in a referendum to get rid of the ranked choice voting. Now this is my advice for them. Don't have Sarah Palin as your figurehead on this. Don't have Andy Josephson out of Anchorage as your figurehead on this. Those are on the extreme sides, whether you like it or not. It was almost defeated. You know, it was a 10-1 in expenditures on it 2 years ago that put it in there. But also, be thinking who your target audience is. The moderates, the middle voters. Not one side or the other. You're going to get some of those anyway. You want the middle ground. This is who you want. Do not come out of the box with one far side or the other. If you want to pass this, that's how you do it. Just my thoughts. You know, I live in Fairbanks, Alaska. I classify it as a purple state where left meets right, right meets left, north meets south, where they all come together, where Esther and Salcha meet in the middle. It's a purple state. You have to sell the referendum to the purple state in Alaska. Many areas are purple, many areas are blue, many areas are red. Review it as a purple state and try and elect it that way. Should be interesting. If you come out on an extreme side, left or right, you're going to lose a lot of people that you could have, that you should have easily picked up. Know your target audience. I knew mine. I knew mine very well. I live in a purple town. I live in a purple state. I live in a state that's one-fifth the size of the United States, that encompasses everything in the world. Everything. The referendum on removing ranked choice voting will appeal to a lot of people. A lot of people. How many people just voted for one candidate? Because that's what they're used to, because they didn't want to have to vote for anyone they didn't want to vote for. I respect that. I understand that. How can you argue with that? You got one shot at this. Do it right. Do it correctly. Don't berate. Don't be better than thou. Sell it. Market it. Back to the Future. One vote for one person. That's how you do it. Let the different political parties have their primary. That's how you sell it. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're at 458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Do you need health insurance for next year? Quality coverage is more affordable than ever. Talk with the United Way Healthcare Navigator to understand your new Affordable Care Act coverage options and expanded eligibility for savings. Call 211 or text GetCoveredAK to 898-211 to connect to free, local assistance. Enrollment is open now through January 15th. Protect your health and your financial security. Call 211 today.
The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center provides free, confidential pregnancy tests to any woman in need. But they offer so much more to women, men, and families. By participating in one-on-one parenting classes selected by you, you can take advantage of Earn While You Learn, earning valuable credit to spend on children's items and clothing in Maria's Boutique. The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center. Call 907-455-8255 or visit online findoutfree.com. Findoutfree.com.
Your snow shovel get buried in the last blizzard? Century Hardware has the wintertime tools you need right now. You need ice chippers? Century has ice chippers. You need lock de-icer? They have lock de-icer. Snow rakes? Arctigrade extension cords? Yep. And of course, snow shovels. Lots of them. Weekend warriors of winter, don't just fight the snow and ice. Conquer it with some help from Century Hardware. Get your gear in here. Ralph does, so should you. Century Hardware, what you need right now.
Affordable Used Cars is the only true one-stop shopping experience in Fairbanks. Affordable Used Cars has the largest inventory of pre-owned vehicles in the state. All makes and all models. That's right. Affordable has them all. Chevy, GMC, BMW, Kia, Ford, and more. The list goes on. No need to drive around all day or spend hours on the internet. Come by today for a test drive and be amazed at the selection and the affordable prices. Affordable Used Cars, located on South Cushman.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Find Bridgestone and Cooper tires for every car, truck, motorhome, and SUV you drive. Everything you tow. GCR tires and service. The Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road. Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR. Weather.
A winter weather advisory begins at noon tomorrow and continues until 6 a.m. Thursday morning. Mainly cloudy skies today with a high of 12 below. Northeast winds around 5 miles per hour. 18 below tonight, cloudy. Snow likely tomorrow, high of 6 above. 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here. Look at the four statewide races that we had and how, boy, went in different directions. And for some reasons that were predictable. If you look at the convention, it had never passed it had never been voted to have one in the past. Every 10 years, we have it. And people are just, they're not open to opening up that Pandora's box. Everything's working well. And if the only thing you wanted was, basically the people who wanted to do it was those who wanted the dividend into the Constitution, I think right now, you just better give up on the dividend that way. It's too divisive. You just lost by 70 to 30. Leave it alone. Don't be critical of people who don't want the dividend in the Constitution. It was very telling. That was the issue. It lost 70 to 30. Everyone loves a dividend. It's not. It went through the Supreme Court. Governor Walker pierced the veil. Look at the history. It's not guaranteed. Never was supposed to be. Never has been. That's gone. Leave it alone. Don't crush people about the dividend anymore, whether you're a Democrat or Republican. Let the budget process work out. There you go. Then you had Dunleavy, Petola, and Murkowski get elected. Governor Dunleavy ran a very great strategic race. He looked at all the news. He looked at the Anchorage Daily News and said, you don't treat me well at all. You've been after me since the day I got here. I'm not gonna answer any of your questions in the paper. You want to have an interview with me? I'll have an interview. That's what I'm doing. He ran a very masterful race. The other two candidates could never catch fire. They were beating up on each other. Walker and I forget the other gentleman's name. They were trying to beat up on each other to be number two candidate, so ranked choice voting would put them over the top by giving the other person's votes to them. Dunleavy, this looked like a governor, above the fray, working hard in the middle of a hurricane, once-in-a-century storm in Nome and Kotzebue. These people are having a debate, and he's going to it. He's acting like a governor. At that moment, he acted like a governor. He acted like the governor you want. That race was over. That was the telling moment right there. And they're yelling at him for going out there. Oh. You had the U.S. House, Petola, and then Begich and Palin. Begich and Palin beat up on each other. Just beat up on each other. Who's the best Republican? Petola, I'm sitting here looking good. I'm going to show my photo, have my canned statements. No one's attacking me. Begich did a little bit. When it was apparent that she was, getting stronger because the two Republicans were getting weaker from this beating up on each other. And that's what happened. It was a interesting election. The late Congressman Young, He had one opponent, Nick Begich. He passes away in office. Very, very sad. And then you have ranked choice voting at its best come in with 47 candidates. I mean, who wasn't running? You had Santa Claus running. Was Casper the Friendly Ghost out there? You had anyone and everyone running. Because they all thought, okay, I can make it to the top four. I'm one of those. I can make it to the top four. And then I might not get number one, but I'll get other people's votes. That didn't work. If you look at the top, the three people who won, the four people who won on the state election, excuse me, the four people who won, they ranked choice voting. They were in the lead before they went into the redistribution of votes, all four of them. They didn't have to do it with the state constitutional convention. They didn't have to do it with the governor's race. Senator Murkowski was ahead by about 1%, and Mary Pottola was at 47%. The ranked choice voting did not lift up the second place candidate in those races. Whoever at the end of the day, at the end of the vote, be it in person, mail-in, or early voting, whoever was in the lead on a statewide race, they won. Murkowski and Pottola had to go to the second round. Governor Dunleavy and the Constitutional Convention did not. There were some House and Senate races that went to the second round. If you look at locally, everyone who was in the lead by a good margin, District 31, Dibert, District 34, Tomaszewski, District 35, Ashley, you knew that they didn't have to go to, at the end of the day, at the end of the evening of voting, you knew that those outcomes were not going to change. It should be interesting to see in the parties coming into 2024 how they approach the ranked choice voting, because it's going to be there again. You know, the legislature, the Senate, first thing they said is, we're not touching our election system, ranked choice voting, we're not going there. That stopped the fight. They didn't want to have that fight. A few of them got elected in the Senate by ranked choice voting. A few of them did. They weren't going to change the way they got elected. Predictable. I've been saying that for a couple months now. That's not going to change. If you looked at what the Democrats did, they were very strategic. There was no, on the day of the election, there was only one Democrat in many races. There was no more than one Democrat, except for governor, and that was Walker and the gentleman out of Anchorage, and sometimes Walker was a Democrat, sometimes he was a Republican, sometimes he was independent. And so that was the only one where an independent was in it. District 31, one Democrat, one Republican, one conservative. The conservative, this bonked the head of the Republican the whole time, said, just vote for me, no one else. I'm a true conservative. You're in a purple state. What was your expected outcome? A Democrat won. District 32, one Republican, one Democrat. Very red state. Fairbanks is purple. That's the red portion of it. One winner, Will Stapp, congratulations. District 33, one person, no opponents, Mike Prox. Very, very good for the North Pole area. Gets along with everyone. Not rampant. Thinks well of others, wants to work with others. Very good representative for him over there. District 34. Boy, was that a change. You have a very uber liberal representative going against a staunchly Republican person who's challenging in a very conservative area. It was predictable. I must give Greer Hopkins credit. Boy, he tried to do the body makeover. Boy, you know, all of a sudden he's conservative, gun-toting. he tried. But it just wasn't going to make it there. Ashley Carrick in District 35. Very, very blue district. Esther, University of Alaska. Fox, Goldstream. This was the area that the Hopkins tried to get back for Greer. David Gutenberg, you know, through the redistricting board, tried to get Goldstream back in so Greer could be reelected. This is the deep blue area, whereas Greer was in the deep red area. As far red, these are, you know, far left, Esther, far right, Salcha. This was predictable. Ashley Carrick. She worked it hard, too. She got a lot of endorsements. One Democrat, two Republicans, one moderate, one far right. And the far right was saying, I'm the true Republican. Vote for me, don't vote for anyone else. There you go again. What happens? The person who had no internal fight won, just like in District 31. So, in the future, if you're a Republican, if you're the Republican Party, if you're going into an election in 2024, what I'd be looking at is I'd be saying, I'm going to put in my district this rule. If however many Republicans run in the primary, if you're not the winner, you have to withdraw. Simple as that. No more beating each other up. You have to withdraw. It's the only way you're going to do it. Republicans, we have a great way of hitting each other versus hitting the opponent. Yeah. It's just the way it is. You think they'll do it? You think it'll happen? Yeah, we'll see. You never know. I'm throwing the idea out there now. Democrats, very strategic. One Democrat per race. That's it. No more. That way, all resources are for one person, one direction. So when you're looking at the makeup of the House and the Senate, don't blame the people that are down there. Don't do that. No. This comes from the constituency and the people who were in the races. Yeah. So anyway, well, I hope you enjoyed my ramblings today. Tomorrow we have Joni Skillbred. It's the final Wednesday of the month. We're going to enjoy that. Friday I have Tanya Klukas. We're talking about all the Christmas events that are coming on. It's a wonderful holiday season. You have a great day. I will see you tomorrow. And it's cold out there, so be careful. Bundle up. Let your car run. And be careful as you drive. I will see you tomorrow.